read from the Word of God, from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, and reading from verses 24 to 28. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into our own land. I will sprinkle clean water over you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And also from the Gospel according to John, at the chapter 17, and reading from verses 6 to 19. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. And now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen.
For hands that do dishes, that feel soft as your face, use mild green fairy liquid. We all remember those adverts and those words so well, and we all then assume that we'll rush out and buy green fairy liquid to make our hands as soft as our face. It might depend how soft your face is, of course. There's always that little caveat that they put into those things that you're never quite sure just what you're going to end up with. But it's looking for those creams and those solutions and those treatments that are going to make our skins lovely and soft and fresh and shine like the sun or not, as the case may be. Those treatments that we look for in the world which will make things gentle and kind and smooth. And wouldn't it be lovely to have such a cream for our world and the hurts that are in the world, that we could make it kinder and softer and gentler? Because that is surely what we want for our children. We want it for ourselves, of course, but when we have new life amongst us and when we see our children, we want this to be a fine place for them where they can truly relax and truly find that they are protected away from all that will harm them. But of course, that is unlikely to happen. We do not have the assurance of safety. In Jesus' prayer for his disciples in John 17, we read, and if we read it carefully, we see that he's asking God to protect his followers, to protect them, not to save them from harm, but to protect them from the evil one. Not that he really believes that they are going to suffer no hurts, but that they will know that they are being looked after and cared for. And as with our children, we know very well that they're going to hurt themselves at some point. We know there'll be tears for whatever reason. We know that things are not always going to run smoothly. But we also know that in taking those risks of running, perhaps, of taking those risks of playing, of taking those risks of meeting strange people in a strange church, that things will happen that will upset them. They'll need cream, perhaps. They'll need cuddles. They'll need the hugs. They'll need looked after. They'll need to be brought back up onto their mother's knee, no matter how old they might be, to be told that everything will not be well, but we're here for you. And that is what Jesus is asking God to do for his followers. He said, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to be with them in the world, which is where Jesus was with us when he was walking this earth. He did not take the hurts away, but he took time to listen and to include. He took time to understand what was going on. And he did not just simply place people in ivory towers called churches and say, you stay there and you'll be fine. As God sent Jesus, Jesus says, I am sending them into the world, out into that world of hurts and pain and horror and grief. And we know fine what it's like out there, which is probably why we come in here for that time of peace and relaxation, for that time when we can hear words of grace and mercy and forgiveness, for that time when we can perhaps feel in our hearts contentment and understanding and sensitivity. Protection is the key, but how do we protect our children? Do we give them crash helmets? Do we wrap them up in cotton wool? Do we give them steel-capped boots for when they go out to work or when they go to school because it's going to be tough? Do we say they can't do things because they might fall? Or do we simply pick them up and say, try again the next time. Learn from our lessons. Because it's not just children who fall and hurt themselves, it's adults too. Literally, of course, but also metaphorically, emotionally, and spiritually. We all take those falls, we all take those batterings, but it is knowing who is with us that will help us to get back on our feet. The theologian Richard Rohr writes a book called Falling Upwards, and it basically says, if we never fell in our lives, we'd never learn how to get up. If we never had the battles, we'd never learn how to be there and get through them. If we didn't have those problems, then what would we learn? Of course, God doesn't send us those particularly to make us learn specific things, but we learn through them because the world is not just. That's why we're here. The world is not fair. That's why Jesus sends us into the world, to make it fair, to make it better for all people. And as we want our own children to be able to run around and be free and not be hurt, so we should be considering all children around the world, which indeed we are. Because this week starts Christian Aid Week. And Christian Aid Week is very much about reaching out to the children of the world, all children of every age of the world, from the weeest ones to the oldest ones, God's children of every age, to reach out to them and say, yes, we know the world is not fair, but we want to make it better for you. We know that there are injustices, not just by where you happen to be born and how you happen to be brought up, but we know that there are injustices of governments too. Injustices of people who want power and will grab power no matter the collateral damage. Another people who don't care what they are bombing or who they are bombing in order to get their own way. And we know that happens, but we also know that there are agencies such as Christian Aid, one of many, who are working hard in many ways to make life better. to challenge social injustice, to challenge the injustices of the world and in the world, whether they be man-made, person-made, or natural disasters. Haiti is bracing themselves for hurricane season. We know Nepal is climbing back after earthquakes and many other events too. We know that there are countries who are in famine. We know there are countries in the midst of war. We see them constantly on our screens and we hear about them in our news. We know that there are people who will bomb anyone. It doesn't matter where they are and what they're doing. Just this morning in Indonesia, there were 3 churches attacked, bombed, suicide bombers, and Christian churches, 9 dead at least and probably more. We know that's going to happen, but we know there are people who are trying to help, and it is for us to help those people do what they can. That might be by door-to-door collections and bringing in money that can help. A little bit of money can go a long way in most of these countries where Christian Aid is active. But Christian Aid is not just hands-on at the front line, not just. They're also lobbying the powers that be. They're also lobbying our own governments to make things safer and fairer for our society as well for societies across the world. They're also working hard with other agencies and other people and other faith groups and non-faith groups to say that this is not how we should be living. And they're not praying to be taken out of the world and to be made safe. They're saying, let us get into that world and help those who are suffering. And that is where we are meant to be as Christians and as followers, right in the midst, right in the center, where we can be seen, maybe not heard at the moment, but where we can be seen. Where people will focus and say, what are you doing? What are you saying? And we should be saying, we will not put up with this. We are not going to stand back and let this happen. And it doesn't matter if it's a small injustice or a large injustice. We are the cream that will make this world more gentle. We are the ones who will be able to apply it liberally. We know that some of those creams that you buy at great expense, excuse me a minute, see if you're getting down for that, at great expense, don't always work. And so we apply them more and more liberally. And if you want to look and see how you apply cream liberally, then go to Sophia's parents and ask to see a photograph of what she did this week. Liberal application of cream everywhere. And your lovely soft skin is testament to it. But we need to apply the cream of care and gentleness liberally. And I mean that in its truest sense. To everybody. It doesn't matter who. To make sure that this world, doesn't matter where, knows that it is loved and cared for by the God of all. Jesus says, I do not want my friends, my followers, to be taken out of the world and into safe places. I want them to be sent out to those places where they can make most difference. And the difference isn't about our hurts. And the difference isn't about how we feel. The difference is to those people who are truly, truly struggling. And there are many, many instances, near and far away. Can we do that? Well, we must. Is it our job? Well, it is. Are we not then meddling? No, we're not. We have the gospel before us, the liberal gospel of God's love, which says even before we can understand it, it is there for us. We've just gone through all that again with baptism, saying before we can understand it, God loves us totally and utterly and unconditionally, and that is for all people, no matter where they may be. Ezekiel reminds us that God says, I will bring my family, my children, my people from all corners of the world. And if you want to know where the corners of the world are, just watch Eurovision. Everybody's in there. And even when you don't watch it, you know that everybody's in there. And all sorts of music that you really don't like, and all sorts of things that you really can't stand. And some people just love it to bits and will watch it till the cows come home, and usually they have to because it's that late at night that it finishes. But no matter our preferences, and no matter for whom we will vote, either in Eurovision or politically, it doesn't matter. The point is that our foundation is Jesus Christ and his gospel. The point is that we have the God who says, I will bring you home and I will gather you together and I will be your God and you will be my people. And what a foundation to have to do anything and everything that he asks us to do. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It starts with us. Our knees already should be bowing, our hearts already turning from those hearts of stone into hearts of flesh that he spoke of. Already we should be well along that road of saying, we will stand up for those who have no voice, the least, the last, and the lost. And this week, 1 week in the year with Christian Aid, 52 weeks in the year with Christian Aid, 52 weeks of work, 52 weeks of total and utter commitment to the people who need help the most. As Christians, as followers, as human beings, surely we are looking for the same things: to bring to this world more gentleness and kindness and grace and mercy. We have so much to share because we are wealthy. We are wealthy not only by the possessions that we have compared to so many others, but we are wealthy in faith. And we know that we have a God who will hold us and protect us and be with us. We know we have a God who will stand with us when we are hurt and try to heal us where we will allow. We do know we have a Christ who came into this world of darkness to walk in the world, not to stand apart from it and simply say, this is what you must do. He came to show us by his own example how to live and how to be and how to work. We know that we have that example before us. But it's time to apply the cream of the gospel liberally, wherever we may be, and perhaps to move from where we are to other places that need it too. Many people think that the Christian life is one of ease and comfort and everything is fine. I know I could ask anyone in this congregation today, is that true? And I would get the same answer, no. Life is not simple and straightforward. There are challenges and battles. There are injustices and unfairness. There's lots to be worked on and lots to think about. But why are we still here and why do we still worship this God? Because he stands beside us and with us. He is the foundation on which we build. He is, as we've heard those past few weeks, the vine to which we are grafted. He will not leave us on our own. He will not leave us to bear the hurts. He will not. That is his promise. So we can stand strong against lies. We can stand strong against injustice. We can stand strong against those who feel that their way is the only way, and their way of power and condemnation and judgment is the only way. What do we want for our children? For Lucy, for Amelia, for all who are in our midst and all who are in our families and all in the children around the world, what do we want for them? For children in Rwanda, we want them to know peace and love and understanding, to know that the world cares, or at least somebody somewhere cares. Our world is crying out for children to be loved, the children of God of every age. And we can do it. We must do it. It is our calling. Do we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? For those who even in their hearts are saying yes, through a whisper or a shout, then this is our remit, our job description, our way ahead to make this world gentle and kind and accepting and loving. Can we do it? As Bob the Builder would say, yes, we can. But the other question is, will we do it? Yes, we will. As accepted by God, we will shine for him.